Praise the Lord. We have come to lesson number 11 in our study of the book of James. And today we have come to James chapter 4. We will start our study from verses 11 to verse number 17, which is the end of the fourth chapter. Over the past lessons, we have been looking and studying about the difference between divine wisdom from God versus human wisdom. And then we went more deeply into the characteristics of divine wisdom. In our last lesson, we understood about fights in the church that happens as a result of pride and worldliness. Today we are going to concentrate on James chapter 4 verses 11 onwards, and the title of this lesson is The Danger in Playing God. The Danger in Playing God. We may recall that back in the Old Testament, even in the Garden of Eden, when Satan approached Eve with a temptation, we read that in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 5, the proposition that Satan placed before Eve was that she can be like God, or she can play God, if she would eat of the forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that was the way that she got tempted to pluck the fruit and disobey God's word. Even today, after that, we know that Eve and Adam fell into sin, and the element of sin has been lurking in our hearts. And even today, the same temptation is very strong in our lives, especially in the church and in the lives of Christians, where they want to be like God and they want to play God. It is more like a game that people play. And this is all because of the manipulation that Satan used to draw Adam and Eve with having this passion to be wanting to be God in our life and in the lives of other people. The desire that prompts any Christian or a child of God to fight, this desire, to have this desire met, there are two choices that are always before us. Number one, we can either fight to satisfy these desires by ourselves, and that is how the fights originate in the church. Or we can humbly allow God to fulfill them by surrounding ourselves under His control. And as we read through the book of James, he is totally promoting humility. He says that we need to humble ourselves and submit to God. And when we do that, when we humble ourselves in the sight of God, He is going to lift us up. But we need to understand that there are times when, even within the church, the Christians have a habit of playing God with other people. And also they try to play God with themselves as well. And so we are going to look into these two areas today in our study. We are looking into the aspect of playing God with others or judging others, verses 11 and 12. And then we are going to see how we play God even to ourselves when we boast about tomorrow, from verse number 13 to verse number 17. Now, as James addresses this kind of a tendency that happens in the lives of people, this is how he writes in James chapter 4 verse 11. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges a brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you are a judge of the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. So, as we look through these verses, there is a message that is clear if we can read between the lines. And this is a message that we are trying to imagine ourselves superior to other Christians, and in doing so, we try to put them out, put them down in different ways. So what are the rules that people adopt when they try to play God with others? Number one, when we try to play God with other people, we speak against other people and try to put them down. From the Greek translation, the word speak against has a meaning of talking down at somebody else. It's an idea of talking about one person to another person with the intention of lowering the listener's estimate of the other person, which is bring them down in their eyes as we talk evil about them. And we need to understand that the person about whom you are speaking behind their back, they are not there to defend themselves. So we tend to speak negatively about somebody in their absence. And many times we are not even concerned if this gossip or the accusation that we are bringing is accurate or not. We need to understand a very big danger for Christians as they speak down about other people. If you read the Bible closely, we understand that the habit of accusing others or speaking evil about others or lowering others comes straight from Satan. He is the accuser of the brethren, as it is written in Revelation, who accuses the people of God day and night. Satan is the one who presented himself before God and accused Job, the righteous Job, as we read in the first chapter of the book of Job. He was also the accuser of the high priest in the book of Zechariah. So many times it is Satan who accuses other people. When we open our mouths to speak down against somebody, we need to be clear that we are imitating Satan in that regard. He is the one who pulls down and breaks up and destroys people's lives, and we tend to do that through our words as well. The second rule that we see in this regard is that we are judging other people. The real meaning of the word judge means we are pronouncing condemnation upon someone else. It's as if that we know everything that know about the other person. It's as if that we completely understand the person's thoughts and the intentions and the motives that he or she has done that particular thing, and we are trying to become a judge of the other person. When we look into the Gospels, we know that Jesus Christ has condemned this kind of a judgmental attitude, where he has brought about a very interesting illustration that we read in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 5. And this is what our Lord Jesus Christ said: "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. But for the way that you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." We are told, and as Jesus Christ has categorically told, we are not to judge anybody because it's like pointing one finger at others when there are three other fingers pointing at you. We may be thrice as faulty as the other person, so we have to be very careful before we judge anybody. Another reason that we can see that we should not judge is because when we criticize other people, we speak against the law itself and we are judging the law. And we are actually, the law that James is referring to in chapter 4 verse 11 is the golden rule or the golden law, which says like this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We need to understand that that when we deliberately break the law, we are putting the law down and we are setting ourselves above the law. And so what we do is that instead of becoming a doer of the law, we are becoming a judge of the law. So as James is evaluating this kind of judgmental attitude of Christians about other people, in verse number 12, James is saying a statement that we need to remember. There is only one lawgiver or only one judge, the one who is able to save and destroy, and that is God himself. And then James is asking us this question point blank: who are you to judge another? Who gave you the authority? Who gave you the role? Who put you upon the judge's pedestal? Did God allow you to say something? No. So we need to understand that we are not to judge other people. The first reason that we should not judge others is because this position of authority is reserved for God alone. In fact, our Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the ultimate judge. And to him, God the Father has given the authority. The one who was a savior of the world is going to be one day the judge of everybody. And we are all going to stand before his judgment seat. So we have to be very careful that we do not judge anyone. Because God alone has the ability to save and destroy. And he is only qualified to judge. Number two, when we play God as a judge, we either ignore or excuse our own failures. And that is why James is asking, who are you? You there, who are you? He is turning the spotlight and putting it on ourselves and say, with that bluntness, James is saying that we cannot sit on the judgment seat and we cannot judge anybody. We need to root out any kind of harsh or unkind or critical spirit that comes within us from finding faults with others. Why do we find these kind of faults with others? Because let us understand very clearly, there is a spiritual pride that comes within us that make us feel that we are superior to other people. I have seen many so-called Christians who think themselves to be more spiritual than others or more godly. But when they open their mouth, they are all the time condemning somebody or judging other people. And James says that you cannot do that. That is only reserved for God. So that is the first part of what James says, that we cannot play God in judging other people. The second part of our lesson today is when we play God with ourselves and we play with our own lives. When we start from verse number 13, we are saying like this through this passage, is that we are the final authority over our own lives. God is completely out of the picture and we don't even recognize that he exists in our life and he has a role to play in our life. So when we come to verse number 13, this is what James is telling about us as we think ourselves, that we say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. So we are actually boasting about tomorrow, that we are going to go spend there, buy and sell, or engage in business and make a profit. There are five rules that we can understand from what James is describing here. Number one, we are trying to selfishly choose our own time and schedule. When we say, come on, today or tomorrow. Number two, we are choosing a location where we think we can get the upliftment that pleases us. It says that we shall go to such and such a city. We are deciding on the place where we go. Number three, we are limiting there our stay to please ourselves and to lift us. It says we will spend a year there. Number four, we are arranging our activities to work primarily for our own benefit and pleasure, which is that we will be engaged in buying and selling or engaged in business. And number five, we are predicting our success and boasting about it, that we are making a profit. So this reminds me about the rich, the fool that God called, you fool. The rich person who had a lot of good harvest, and he said, I'm going to destroy my old barn and I'm going to build up and I'm going to store this and that. He was planning on a long term. But the problem was that he didn't have God in the picture, number one. Number two, he didn't know that that night would be his final night and he will be dying that very same day. And that's why God calls him a fool and says, what will you do with all this that you accumulated or gathered for yourself? What are you going to do if your soul is taken up today? And then the statement is like, you know, if we gain the whole world and lose our own soul, what profit is there? So, I want to be clear in this. James is not criticizing or the planning or organization, because you know that in Proverbs 21 verse 5, God encourages wise planning. We need to plan. But our plan should always be made according to God's will. And we should, while we plan, we should acknowledge God's sovereignty over our lives. He should be the central part of our life and everything. Our plans, our desires, our goals, our strategies, everything should be aligned to the plan of God. So, but what is James really criticizing here? What is he saying? This is about planning presumptuously as if God does not at all exist in our life. And in order to say that, in verse number 14, James is saying that you do all this planning, but you do not even know what your life will be like tomorrow. So we need to understand that tomorrow is not for us. It is uncertain. We have never gone there. We don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. And so, anything can happen. There can be an accident. There can be a death. There can be a loss of a job. There can be anything that happens tomorrow. So, when we do our planning, we always need to remember that if God wills, and God has to be a part of it. And number two, we don't have an assurance of a long life. In James chapter 4 verse 14, the last part, it says our life is like a vapor that is there for a little time, but then it vanishes away. You know, our life is a short time. Many times we plan great things, we dream great dreams, we think about I'll do this, I will do that, but we do not know if we are going to be alive tomorrow. When we read the prayer of Moses of Psalms 90, you know, Moses has clearly said about our life, which is like a grass, which is coming in the morning and withering in the night. James, Psalms 90 verses 3 to 6, where he says about what is our life is so short. It's like a vapor. It's like a grass that grows in the morning and it is gone. So we cannot make this kind of grandiose plans about tomorrow, because we don't know what is going to happen. The third thing that we read is that we cannot ignore the will of God. We need to do God's will. And that's why in verse number 15, James is advising us that this is how you should plan. we should say, if the Lord wills, we will shall live and do this or that. So if God wills, you know, when we disregard God from our plans, that is the height of arrogance and pride. Psalms 14 verse 1 says, the fool said in his heart, there is no God. So it is a fool's game when we play God or we take God out of the equation. But instead, James says that whatever we do apart from God, all this is dangerous. And we need to backtrack and humble ourselves before God. And verse number 16 says that we are boasting in our arrogance. All such boasting is evil. You know, the reason everything that we play the game, there can be one word to describe it. It is evil. We are doing it because it is evil. So, finally, as James concludes in verse number 17, this is what he says, that you should stop playing God, or you should stop trying to be like God because you are not God. There are two simple rules to follow. Verse number 17, James says, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, it is a sin. So number one, we should need to know what is the right thing to do. How do we know that? It is only through God's word. We need to read, we need to reflect, we need to remember, we need to think about, and we need to align ourselves to do God's word. Number two, we should start doing the right thing. Not only that we know the right thing, we should start doing it, because if we don't do it, we are sinning against God. So whatever we study from God's word, we should start practicing it in our lives. Many Christians know a lot. They have everything in their head, but nothing goes into their heart and nothing trickles down into their lives. When you look at the way they live, the way they talk, the way they behave, it's as if that they don't even have any clue about God's word. We need to take what we learn, what we study from God's word, and we need to start practicing it. We need to stop putting other people down, and we need to let God be the judge. God said, vengeance is mine and I will repay, in Romans chapter 12. We need to let God be the judge, and let God be the one who punishes evildoers. Rather, what we need to do is we need to pray for them. We need to love them back in return. And instead of seeking to control, we need to submit ourselves to the hand of God, that He will allow everything to happen beautifully to take place in our life. I hope that this lesson was very interesting. It's a very practical lesson. James is unusually very critical, but when we read through the epistle of James, we understand that we cannot play God. We cannot put ourselves down. We cannot put others down. We cannot judge somebody else, and we cannot boast about tomorrow. I hope and pray that this lesson does an impact in your life as we journey through our life, bowing before God, humbling ourselves before God, and trusting that He will take us through our life's journey. May God bless you through this word. Amen.